WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Cooper Lawrence in New York, where the port here is one of more than a dozen terminals where thousands of dock workers are now on strike. This strike could impact consumers.
Fresh meat and other refrigerated food could spoil, resulting in shortages and increased prices. Todd Vashon is an assistant professor of labor studies at Rutgers University. He says the impact will be far-reaching if the strike lasts more than just a few days.
If we're not unloading the goods from the ships in a largely import economy like the United States, then we're watching the whole economy grind to a halt.
By one estimate, the strike will cost the economy $5 billion a day. Chanel Call, CBS News.
Both sides are gearing up for the vice presidential debate tonight. The CBS debate moderators will not be fact-checking the candidates live. Instead, there will be a QR code on the screen. Here's what's at stake.
Political analyst Amy Dacey describes the task at hand in this debate on CBS.
Reinforce and make sure they're in alignment with what their candidate has been saying at the top of the ticket.
But will they have a major impact on the voters? Political analyst Larry Sabato says maybe.
Vice presidential debates can only do so much. They affect the edges.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
Efforts are underway to airdrop supplies, restore power, and clear roads after the massive rains from Helene. But there's more rain on the way, which could make cleanup challenging. CBS's Jim Crisula reports.
I'm Jim Crisula in North Carolina. A crisis of epic proportions is unfolding across the mountains of western North Carolina and east Tennessee.
This will take years to clean up if it's ever.
Historic flooding has cut off dozens of communities, with hundreds of roads and bridges washed away.
It's hard to understand. I mean, this is just massive.
The 100,000 residents of Asheville are without power, cell service, drinking water, and in many cases, food.
Israel is bracing for increased rocket attacks by Hezbollah after they launched a limited ground invasion into southern Lebanon. Reporter Linda Gradstein is in Jerusalem.
The army said it had launched what it called a targeted and limited incursion overnight Monday into a number of Lebanese villages that was focused on Hezbollah infrastructure that posed what it called an immediate threat to Israeli towns on the other side of the border.
Baseball's postseason starts this week, but MLB is already planning two big changes to the uniforms next season. They're going to go back to players wearing their team's uniforms during the All-Star game instead of American and National League jerseys. That's after the players themselves complained. But don't worry, there will be specialty hats and you can buy them. They're also getting rid of those see-through fabrics. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Red Cross volunteers from Wisconsin are helping people in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Terry Bell reports.
In all, 1,400 workers from around the country are part of the relief effort. 25 volunteers are from Wisconsin. Their assignments could change at any time. In fact, Red Cross volunteers have to be on standby in case they're needed more somewhere else in the country. I'm Terry Bell.
A high school football game in Milwaukee was cut short Friday when a gun in the stadium went off by accident. Police say an off-duty security guard accidentally fired his weapon during a game at Wisconsin Lutheran High School. The stands were emptied and everyone was sent home. The officer injured himself and was treated. The school is now going over its safety protocols. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers fall to 2-2. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Minnesota led Green Bay 28-0 at the half, but the Packers were able to move the ball and put up points in the second half before falling short against the Vikings 31-29. Quarterback Jordan Love said they didn't do enough to win.
We just didn't make plays. I think did not play well enough, personally me. And, you know, accuracy was a little bit off, a little bit shaky, and was definitely making it hard on some of the guys, which just led to us, you know, getting off the field early and not being able to put up points.
Green Bay heads to L.A. to play the Rams on Sunday. The Milwaukee Brewers are off today as they await their postseason opponent. The Mets and Braves play a doubleheader today to determine postseason seeding. A sweep by either team means the Brewers get Arizona. A split means Milwaukee faces the Mets tomorrow. First pitch is just after 4:30 in Milwaukee tomorrow. And after dropping two games, the 2-2 Badgers host Purdue on Saturday with an 11 a.m. kickoff. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning clear in the overnight as a northwest wind develops. We'll see gusts up around 30 miles per hour, and morning lows will drop to the mid and upper 40s. Sunshine for your Tuesday. High temperatures up to the middle 60s, a northwest breeze. It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Up North News Radio's Pat Kreitlow joins us to kick around all things newsy. We wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Mattenair on Air. Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text. It is the same number, 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for covering for me on Friday. And I want to give a little shout out to my nurses and doctor at Elmbrook Hospital. I had a little minor thing going on, so, and it's no longer a thing. So
it shouldn't be a thing.
It shouldn't be a thing, and it is no longer a thing.
Boom.
So I had this really nice email from Gail, who had noticed, you know, my husband and I were on vacation. We were gone for a couple of weeks, and then I was off on Friday, and she said, I noticed that you've been gone a lot lately, and I hope everything's okay, and I hope you're all right. And I emailed her back. It's just that's so sweet that people care.
Why are you, Gail?
What's with the slitting of the eyes at me?
No one's like, I'm just so happy Greg's around. I just
think she was more concerned that I was sick and dying. So I appreciate that check-in from Gail.
I was going to give them a full medical description on the show on Friday, but I'm like, I want people to stick around.
Yeah, you didn't want to. Yeah, let's not do that. We have a whole bunch of stuff coming your way today, and I'm really excited about our guest who's going to be joining us right after the 10:30 news. Lee McGowan is known as the politics girl, and she has been doing videos, particularly on TikTok, for the last couple of years, and has, like so many of our guests, she has this incredible ability to break down very complex things and make it digestible and understandable. And she is out with a book, and it is already a New York Times number one bestseller. It's called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It.
I appreciate she thinks we still have time to redeem it. That's
she
great.
Does. She absolutely does. So Lee McGowan, and I highly look for her. Her handle is I Am Politics Girl. So you can find her at I Am Politics Girl on Twitter and certainly on TikTok.
And Instagram, and then it is Politics Girl on YouTube and Facebook.
She's brilliant.
Yeah.
She really is. Yeah. And she has a very interesting backstory as well. So Lee McGowan, the Politics Girl, joining us at 10:33 next hour. We talked about this on Friday as Hurricane Helene was barreling towards Florida. And now in the aftermath of that storm, it is a disaster. So many parts of the South. Certain areas of Florida, western North Carolina, eastern Tennessee. We're going to be talking about different ways that you can help. And also just a reminder that Project 2025 would eliminate the National Weather Service, the National Hurricane Service, and it would also change FEMA. And that's who's going to be helping out these folks now is the Federal Emergency Management Agency. And Project 2025 also would like to get rid of FEMA.
It's just going to fundamentally change everything.
It's just going to make all of our lives so much worse.
Yes.
So much worse.
Yep.
We lost Chris Christopherson over the weekend. Yeah. We'll be remembering him at 11:33. And to close out the show now, as we do every day, we'll wrap it up with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing" today from the world of pets.
French pets.
French pets. It's a doozy.
Yeah.
I hope you will stick around for that. We're going to kind of keep going a little bit from what Earl was talking about. Donald Trump making all kinds of appearances over the weekend. He was in Prairie du Chien on Saturday. Let's start, Calvin, with a clip from Donald Trump in Prairie du Chien. Apparently, Derek Van Bully was there to introduce him. And this is what Donald Trump had to say about Wisconsin's very own Derek Van Orden.
I want to just thank Derek, who is an incredible congressman, so respected in Washington. He's really respected, and I don't know if there's somebody running against him or not. I guess there probably is. Will you make sure he wins, please? Okay.
I'm sorry, you said this was about Derek Van Orden?
Derek Van Orden.
But he said that he's really respected, so this is about someone else, right?
Everybody really respects Derek Van Orden, according to Donald Trump.
I guess.
Just a little reminder, in case we've forgotten, Mr. Van Orden said he was enraged after he saw a group of high school-age Senate pages defiling the Capitol. This is going back a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And we're still waiting for fellow Republican Brian Stile to release that videotape of Derek Van Orden, who reportedly had some constituents in his office late at night. There was a little drinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
And Derek walked into the rotunda where he saw these pages lying on the floor so they could take a photo of the ceiling, which is apparently a tradition among Senate pages. Derek didn't like that. A transcript written by one of the pages and printed by The Hill, Derek Van Orden said, quote, "Wake the F up, you little S's. Get the F out of here. You are defiling the space." He called the teenagers jackasses and lazy S's. "I have long said our nation's capital is a symbol of the sacrifice our service men and women have made for this country and should never be treated like a frat house common room." While he's drinking beers in his office with his constituents, but apparently that's something else.
I don't know. He seemed to be okay with defiling the place when he was there on January 6th.
But he didn't go in.
He hung around the parking lot for the tailgate, which didn't make it much better. And also, let's not forget that just last week, he voted against the continuing resolution, in fact, wanting to shut the government down, which for some reason in his head said it was going to help farmers in America if we did this. Yeah. Derek Van Orden, a very respected man.
Very, everyone respects him, Greg.
Yes, yes.
Everyone.
All the best people.
All the best people respect Derek Van Orden. Another thing that Donald Trump said when he was in Wisconsin on Saturday, the crowd size thing really bothers him.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really bothers him.
Yeah, it does.
And he had this comment about all the folks who just couldn't get into the venue. Calvin, let's play that clip, please.
But outside, we have thousands and thousands of
people. Billions.
Would anybody love to give up their seat? So,
just
so
keep
we
talking,
were going
they'll
to leave. Have a thing outside someplace in an area where we could have held the people. And I would say, what do you think, 40, 50,000 people at least out there?
Oh, sure.
Just
sure,
went
sure.
almost all the way to the airport. And it looked like when Lindbergh landed in New York. Do you remember that?
Remember that?
He had all the way, the Broadway, the way they used to do it. And this looked like it. But thousands and thousands
billions
of people.
Billions and billions.
And they all could have had a lot of fun. Oh. Instead, now they're probably leaving and walking back home.
Oh, no, but no one leaves your rallies. No one leaves your rallies.
No.
They hang around the outside of the building just for the nearness of you.
They want the pure nearness.
Yeah.
By the way, 50,000 people is most of the population of Waukesha City.
Yeah, I don't think there's, what is Prairie du Chien, 5,000 people?
Yeah, that's not going to be 50,000.
If anybody was there, by the way, on Saturday, please call us. I would love to know about the 40, 50,000 people that were waiting outside the venue to get in. 855-752-4842. Please enlighten me if you were there. I'd love to be... Just, you know, put me in my place.
You draw issue with his statement about Lindbergh landing.
Okay, when was the Lindbergh flight, Greg Bach? Because we looked it up.
First of all, I like that he said when Lindbergh landed, remember, that was in 1927. So your great meemaw, great peepaw may remember this, but you certainly probably don't because you weren't born yet.
Yeah, even Donald Trump wasn't born yet.
No, but yes, he was. He was born billions of years ago. He's been here the whole time.
As I understand it, and again, correct me if I'm wrong,
yeah,
Charles Lindbergh landed in France.
Yes.
He landed in Paris.
Yeah.
And then he took a ship over.
Yeah.
And then he landed in New York.
I'm just going to play small devil's advocate. You can say a boat lands as well. You could say a boat docks. I just think it's hilarious that you're taking up your quibble is that.
Well, of course, he's inaccurate about just about everything.
Do you remember the Great Depression? Anyone here remember how it was so terrible? Kamala Harris absolutely ruined this country with the Great Depression in 1929.
I'm getting really good at a Trump, by the way.
Not bad.
I have not been practicing at all.
Not bad. Maybe it's better if you don't practice. It just comes naturally.
Yeah.
He spent a lot of time on immigration. And as Earl had pointed out on his show, just more dehumanizing language, more othering, more misuse of statistics and numbers, and they just lap it up. They lap it up.
The clips that we played, and we'll, you know, I heard some of what Earl did with some of the stuff we played on Pat's show this morning. I mean, it is now, it's not even a, you can't trust. It's full on. They're going to walk into your house and slit your throat. That is a quote
from him.
They'll walk into your house and slit your throat. What are we even doing now? Like, it is not even an attempt to sound diplomatic.
Oh, please.
In your just blatant racism.
They abandoned diplomacy a long time ago.
I don't know. I long for the days of hidden racism. I don't know. That sounds dumb to say out loud, but I think you know what I mean, though. It's like, and people, as you said, lap it up. They think it's hilarious. They laugh at it, and all the media does is say he went to Prairie du Chien. He told some terrible thing. There's no consequence. Is the fact that this race is neck and neck?
I know,
is a horrible indictment on this country
and the mainstream media.
Yes. I don't think we're part of. I don't think we're mainstream.
I would not consider us part of the mainstream media. No, not civic media. We're too small.
Yeah, we're cool. We're like your favorite band, like their first two records. Yeah.
Before our hit album.
Exactly. But like no consequences, none. And the fact that he just gets to blather, and I'm sorry, sounding mentally ill.
Yeah, he got a little distracted. I know this is shocking to everyone. He got a little distracted during his Prairie du Chien appearance over the weekend. It's a good clip. I think you'll want to stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. That's called a teaser?
It is called a teaser.
Yeah.
It's tasty, and it's coming up next. Keep it right here. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network.
She gets mad and she starts to cry. A swing man, she can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, we are talking about Donald Trump's appearance in Prairie du Chien over the weekend. Jack from Merrimack is on the line. Good morning, Jack. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call. If Joe Biden were still running and Joe Biden made the outrageous, lying, and crazy claim that Trump is making, he'd be all over the media and they would be saying, this man has clearly lost it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they already did.
So far gone in, he is so far gone in dementia. Well, but Biden never made claims like that. That's the thing. You know, the media would be saying, he's so far gone in dementia.
Yeah.
He's clearly not. Has not the ability to handle presidency. The second thing I wanted to say is this, though. Be careful what you post on Facebook pages. Trump is continues to say the violent rhetoric is all the Democrats' fault, and I finally got sick and tired of seeing that on Facebook. So I made a simple post, and the post said, accuse the other side of that of which you are guilty. And then I attributed it. This is a statement from Joseph Goebbels,
yep,
who was Hitler's minister of propaganda.
Yep.
And the first thing that happened was I got a suspension, and they said, you're promoting a hate group. And I said, what? And they would not take the suspension back. So the second time I posted it, I didn't even mention Hitler. I just put down the attribution of Joseph Goebbels, and they suspended me again for the same thing. Be very careful how you attribute things when you're on Facebook, because apparently if you even mention the Nazis, the fascists, or a hate group, they're going to get down on you.
Jack, thanks, thank you, Jack, so much for calling.
Dan, thank you for listening.
And to clarify, yeah, you're right. Joe Biden did not say anything of what Donald Trump did. My point was that for a long time now, the mainstream media has been hounding him about his mental acuity, not to the same degree they have been to Donald Trump. And that, to me, is what is a very frustrating point, is that, you know, Donald Trump gets to say whatever he wants, and it's either, it wasn't a good speech, never a call to action of, this man is not well and should not be the representative of the GOP.
Well, as Jack said, And here's the clip I've been promising you.
Oh, yes.
Tell me you want to give this man the nuclear codes. Tell me that this is the guy that we can entrust with our nuclear codes. Here's another comment Donald Trump made Saturday during his appearance in Prairie du Chien. Calvin, let's play The Fly.
Remember, there's a hat that's made that sells like crazy.
What?
Oh, there's a fly. Oh, I wonder where the fly came from. See, 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had a fly up here. You're changing rapidly.
Okay. What? First of all, if you listen closely, he said, where'd this fly come from? First of all, let's not try to make him understand science. Someone yells out, Kamala did it.
Uh-huh.
And then he says, this wouldn't have happened 2 years ago.
He wasn't in office 2 years ago.
And I said to Jane this morning while we were prepping, I said, I don't even understand what that means. And you looked at me dead. She goes, you said, he thinks he was in office 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He does.
I was giving him way too much credit.
Yes. And when I heard that over the weekend, because apparently a fly landed on the podium or something, and during his tenure in the White House, America had no flies. We did have flies. But when I saw that comment, this is the first thing that came to me. The very first thought with his obsession with flies. Calvin, let's play clip number 4, please.
They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of a person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know. And they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
He's perfectly fine, everyone. He's fine.
There's plenty of room at the motel.
Yes, please come stay at the Bates Motel.
Oh, God. It's just like you laugh 1 minute, and then as soon as I'm done laughing, I'm like, ugh. Because
this should be concerning.
This should be, I mean,
people should be genuinely concerned with Donald Trump's health.
Yes. Like, and we've said, I mean this as a human being who had a father and had a grandfather. And I am truly concerned about his well-being because he's not a man who takes good care of himself, no. Regardless of how great he thinks his body is. Running for president is not an easy task for a younger person, let alone a guy in his late 70s who doesn't take care, doesn't eat right. And then you surround yourself with a team that is nothing about anything but you. That damages your brain. I'm sorry.
It's not healthy. No one should be surrounded only by sycophants and yes people. Yeah, that's not good for anyone.
He didn't walk into this whole thing with a real like level playing field in his brain either. He already thought he was the greatest thing to begin with.
Well, he's a genius.
He's a stable genius with the best words, the biggest brain, and the brightest people.
One thing he failed to clarify this weekend, though, after he questioned Kamala Harris's mental state.
Yeah.
It's just, it's almost incomprehensible. It's almost incomprehensible, the things he gets to say. And as you pointed out, Greg, now everybody just lets everything he says fly, as it were.
Oh,
see what I did? See what I did?
There it is. That's called a callback, people, and a pun. A pun callback? Are you kidding? It doesn't get any. WBA will take our awards, please.
Well, just clip this one now.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, news is coming up next, and then when we return, very excited. She is the politics girl. Lee McGowan will be joining us. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
CBS News brief, thousands of members of the Longshoremen's Union is now on strike. One of their concerns is an AI future, according to business professor Marek Masters.
It's existential. It cuts across industry. It was a prominent issue in the entertainment industry. It's also an issue in recently in the auto industry. This has been a historically difficult issue in the longshore industry.
Political analyst Amy Dacey says Senator J.D. Vance will need to defend his dog and cat comments against Governor Tim Walz at the vice presidential debate tonight on CBS.
This stuff coming out of Springfield, these are things that Walz can really push him on. Is that the kind of America that, you know, we want to be involved with? Is that the kind of leadership you want to see from somebody like him?
With 131 deaths and hundreds still missing, President Biden will visit Helene Ravage, North Carolina, on Wednesday.
And then it's my plan to travel to Georgia and Florida as soon as possible after that.
CBS News Brief, I'm Cooper Lawrence.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Fire dangers are heating up as we enter the fall fire season. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources released a statement Monday asking people to check fire danger before conducting outdoor burning activities. The statement follows predictions for this week's weather to be dry and have gusty winds, perfect conditions for fires to spread. And while it may be fall, state health officials are still urging people in Wisconsin about mosquito bites. James Kelly has more.
The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is reminding residents to protect themselves after two horses tested positive for eastern equine encephalitis. Mosquitoes are capable of spreading the disease to both animals and people, but it cannot be spread through person-to-person or animal-to-person contact. There has been one confirmed human case of the disease this year, likely from travel to another state. I'm James Kelly.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In Wow, Were We Ever Wrong news, many of the writers on Saturday Night Live did not think Will Ferrell was funny when he first joined the show. Ferrell recalls the early days in the new Netflix documentary Will and Harper, in which Ferrell and former Saturday Night Live writer Harper Steele take a cross-country road trip. Steele started on the show the same time Ferrell did and said the rest of the cast and writers thought Ferrell was a dud, but she just knew he wasn't. Will Ferrell got the last laugh as he went on to be an SNL favorite and star in movies like Elf and Anchorman. About every 10 years or so, Barry Williams shows up in the news and spills the tea about his fellow Brady Bunch cast members. A few years ago, he talked about his crush on his TV mom, Florence Henderson, and their innocent kiss. And now Williams is saying all the cast members hooked up. Williams, who played Greg Brady, says he hooked up with Marsha, the actress who played Peter and Jan dated, and even Bobby and Cindy dated. Relax, folks. They were step-siblings. And actors. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Skies turning clear in the overnight as a northwest wind develops. We'll see gusts up around 30 miles per hour, and morning lows will drop to the mid and upper 40s. Sunshine for your Tuesday. High temperatures up to the middle 60s, a northwest breeze. It's 57 at our studios.
The Todd Alba Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Pack right load, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Late Show with Stephen Colbert writer and comedian Paul Mercurio joins the show. And in the second hour, Northeast Wisconsin-based comedian Rob Brackenridge joins me in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
and welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you live from our studio in sunny downtown Waukesha, Wisconsin. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Very excited to have our guest join us. I'm trying not to fangirl all over her. She is the politics girl. You can find her all over the place at I am politics girl. Lima Gowan is here. Now you're a best-selling New York Times author as well. Congratulations and welcome.
Well, thank you, Jane, and it's really exciting. I mean, for a first-time author like me to be a bestseller is amazing because, you know, the RNC is not out there buying my books. The Democrats aren't out there buying my books. These are people around the country buying my books because they actually believe in returning to common sense and, like, making democracy work.
And that is the name of the book. It's called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. And I love the very beginning of the book, Lee, because it's essentially a civics lesson for those of us who are not deep into politics and necessarily the inner workings of how things work in government. That everyone should, that should be required reading for everybody.
Yeah, listen, I don't want people to feel bad about not understanding politics. I think that was done by design. You know, what have we been told to not talk about our whole life? Politics and religion, right? And what are the two things that cause the most problems in the history of the world? Politics and religion. Yep. And then we don't know how to talk about it and we can't fix it, right? So after the introduction of the book, I literally put 20 pages of what I just call America 101, because I think so many of us don't understand how it works, and then we don't know how to fix it. If you told me, hey, Lee, the problem with your car is the carburetor, and I would be like, that's great, Jane. What's the carburetor?
And where do I find
it? If you don't know, how do you fix it, right? So I just wanted to have a section at the beginning, and I literally say at the top of it, if you know how the government works, if you know how our laws are made, if you understand the three branches of government, skip this section. It's not for you. But if you're like, oh, it's been a long time since I heard Schoolhouse Rock, I wasn't really paying attention in high school, this is 20 pages for you to literally put us on the literal same page moving forward into the book.
And what I love about you and what I love about your videos, Lee, is you take what can be very complicated and complex issues and you break them down into very easily digestible pieces and easy to understand. And really, I highly encourage everyone to pick up this book, if nothing else, just for the first 20 pages, because it's such a good, it's just such a good primer on the basics of how the U.S. government works. It is. It's fantastic.
Well, thanks, Jane. I really appreciate that. I do hope people will read past page 21. but the rest of the book is also written in this kind of conversational way. And I set it out to make it easy for us to have these conversations again. I mean, you guys are in Wisconsin. This is the perfect example. You know, like, you are a 50-50 state. It doesn't reflect that in your legislature a lot of the time because you guys were gerrymandered into the ground. But in general, we are a 50-50, you know, like, we want to have these conversations, but people feel, they feel conflicted and they don't want to get in fights with their family and they don't want to have this thing. So I set up the rest of the book under what I call the six American principles, right? That are six things that no matter where you sit on the political spectrum, we can all agree make America, America. And that's from principle one, America is a land of freedom, to principle six, government should be a force for good. And I think these are six things that no matter where we sit, we're going to agree on. And then I just kind of go into why those are our fundamental principles based on history, where we kind of went off track, and how we can get back on track. And I think it starts a conversation for people where we're not all fighting with each other. We're not all screaming at each other. We can agree on the basic principle and then move forward from there.
And I think, as you said, Lee, I think there are far more things upon which we agree, no matter what side of the political spectrum that you're on, than want to divide us. And that's why there is so much effort to get us divided, to make it seem like we can't agree on anything. So what's the point? That's not true. There are far more things on which we agree. It's just getting past all of the other crap before we can get there.
Well, exactly. I mean, you said it right when you introduced me. You were like, the platform that Elon is now destroying, right? That platform was my favorite platform because it was a place and I'm talking about original Twitter, was the place where you could cull the people you wanted to hear from.
Yes.
So I could pick immunologists, I could pick journalists, I could pick, you know, experts in history, and I could hear what they had to say about topics. And I loved that about old Twitter. New Twitter is like it is there as a social experiment to make us hate each other and think that we are the most divided, most hideous nation in the world, full of just haters. And I just don't believe that that is the case. I think one of the things I saw at the DNC this year was the diversity and the unity that America really has. You are seeing, you know, people from across the nation who are of every color and creed and age and race and gender. And we are out there together saying we believe in this country. We believe in moving forward. We believe in human rights and workers' rights. And it was a wonderful reminder that we are not these red and blue divided states, that we really are the United States of America. And it is a place we could get back to again if we were all kind of looking to do that, which I think most people actually are.
I think people are tired of the division. I think people are exhausted. I think they are exhausted with the anger and the hatred and the finger pointing. And I think a lot of folks want to get past that. If you're just joining us, our guest is Lee McGowan. She is known as the Politics Girl. You can find her all over social media at I Am Politics Girl. And she has a New York Times number one best-selling book that just hit. It's called The Return to Common Sense: How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. Lee, I have a clip from one of your videos recently about what's been going on in some of the states regarding voting. Calvin, let's play that first clip, please.
He's not trying to sway new voters, and he keeps going around saying he doesn't even need votes, that they have all the votes they need. In fact, he just did an interview with Fox News where he said he wouldn't run in 2028 if he loses, but then he said, let's just hope we're successful in this one. Not let's hope we win this one, let's hope we're successful. People should think it's weird that Republicans don't seem to care about how bad their candidate is, that they don't seem to care that Project 2025 came out and we can all read for ourselves how awful their plans for America are. And it's weird that so many swing states are suddenly changing election laws and purging voters or making it harder to vote or count the votes just weeks before the election.
Yeah, that seems some things that make you go, this seems not good. I think you're muted, Lee.
Sorry, not good indeed, Jane. I would say that is entirely true. And I would say your audience probably knows that better than anyone else, because Wisconsin is kind of like the state where they were trying out a lot of this terrible anti-democratic stuff. I mean, I think you guys acted like a beta test for a really long time. I mean, it's just terrible. The work that the people of Wisconsin have really done at this point to hold off some of the worst attacks from right-wing Republicans over the past couple of years has been really successful. I mean, I think that what we're seeing right now is a candidate who's not running, like I said, in the rant in swing states. He's not trying to, you know, sway new voters. He's not trying to change hearts and minds. He's out here telling you who to hate. You know, only he can fix it. And he's has his people in states around this nation making sure people can't vote, purging voter rolls. They're going to be challenging votes after they've been counted. There's going to be election vigilantes at voting sites. They're trying to make it as hard as possible to vote. And I keep saying to people, if you are a voter, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican voter, an independent voter, a Democratic voter. If you are a voter and one party is trying this hard to disenfranchise voters, whether that is the party you don't like, even if it's the Democrats, and you say, well, I'm winning because the Democrats are the ones being disenfranchised, you're not winning, because at the end of the day, you're a voter. And if you give a party the power to disenfranchise voters and not have their vote count and not have their voice heard, eventually you're going to give those people enough power that they won't need your vote either. And I think people need to remember that it is so essential that we protect the vote, not just so our party wins, but so the people win. Because ultimately, if we don't have a voice, what do we have? We have nothing. We are Russia. We are Hungary. We are China under Xi Jinping.
But I think Wisconsinites, by electing Justice Janet Protasiewicz and getting her on the Supreme Court, by undoing some of the gerrymandering, I think Wisconsinites got fed up after all of these years of nothing getting done because one party had almost all of the power and could just say, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to do this instead, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I think one of the things, too, what you just brought up, Lee, was we've talked about on this show is that you can love Donald Trump. You can, you know, wear his hats, go to his rallies, do all the things. But if Project 2025 comes out, if it gets enacted, there will come a day where the goalposts will be changed and you are not patriotic enough. They will change their mind and say, well, you had four signs out, but we need six signs. Sorry. And they're going to change the rules. And no matter how much you supported him, you won't be enough for his America. And that for me is it's one of the most infuriating parts because if you like Trump, whatever, I'm not even gonna say I like it, but whatever. But you put so much, put so much heart into it. And we've watched him just throw away his supporters left and right, from the famous to the unfamous. And the fact that people can't see that the goalposts will change is it's crazy, because you try to tell them, like, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a liberal. You don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, it's distressing because at the end of the day, Donald Trump is looking out for Donald Trump. Mm. But I also think that it's, like you're saying, you just look around at the people that were his ultimate loyalists, people like Rudy Giuliani. Didn't pay him, threw him under the bus. Now he's disbarred. He'll probably go to jail. You know what I mean? Like, he has no loyalty to people. It doesn't matter how loyal they were to him. And he certainly has no loyalty to the people. At the end of the day, he's going to end up doing what he ends up doing. Quite frankly, I think Donald Trump should be concerned, because that Project 2025 plan, he's the vehicle to get those people across the finish line. He is not the end game. J.D. Vance is the end game, an empty vessel that stands for nothing and will do everything that the powers that be and the moneyed interests want him to do. That is who they want. Donald Trump will be 25th. He will fall out a window. He will drink a tainted Diet Coke. Something will happen, because they don't need Donald past centering the government around themselves and changing all the rules using things like Schedule F and making the federal government answerable only to the executive branch and the president. Donald Trump will think that's for himself. But ultimately, it will only be for the powers that be of people like the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation and those giant money big players.
Well, and what I find so interesting about Project 2025, Lee, is the fact that they put it online. Either they just, the arrogance level to me is a new, that reached a new height. It's either they thought no one's going to read 900 pages, or they thought they are so much within their own bubble that they think, but everybody's going to love this. Who's not going to love Project 2025, eliminating FEMA and eliminating the National Weather Service and the National Hurricane Center? It's going to be great. So I find that stunning. Either that they just think it's so great that everyone's going to jump on board, or that, oh, who's going to pay attention to this?
Yeah, it's one or the other. I mean, I think a lot of us who are independent media people, we are paying attention. My top of the year podcast on the Politics Girl podcast was on Project 2025, and it was well before anyone was talking about it. And it made it into the book because I was writing the book last year. And it really is something people should be deeply concerned about. But also, they need to understand that if they don't get it this year, if Donald Trump, for whatever reason, and I believe he will not win, it's just going to become Project 2029.
Oh, yeah.
And people need to understand that. This is a long-term goal.
No, you're absolutely right. Donald Trump is the vessel to get this going. But they don't, after this year, they won't need him. They will. This is the Republican plan, or the Federalist Society plan, for the next Republican administration, no matter who it is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt. I mean, the whole point is to center the government around their ideals, their thought of who an American is, their Christian nationalism. It really does have a lot to do with Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
And we need to be really clear about that.
We are going to continue our conversation with Lee McGowan. She is the Politics Girl. You can find her on all the socials at I Am Politics Girl. Subscribe to her podcast. Pick up her book, The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. We'll be right back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast and global Civic Media Radio Network. That's what You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today I've got some good news about prices, especially at the pump. Gas prices are the lowest that they've been in years right now. The statewide average in Wisconsin is about $3.02 a gallon, and there are 10 counties, including Eau Claire and Sheboygan, where the average price at the pump is under $3. Gas prices have been heading south since this summer when Biden and Harris released 1 million barrels of oil from one of our big reserves to help us avoid a summer gas price surge. And I am all for doing whatever we can to keep gas prices down. So I don't want to hear any more of this talk about tariff taxes on imports. Half our gas comes from overseas. I can't afford to pay more for that. Let's keep our gas prices down. For more Everyday Money news, check out Work Money Media on YouTube or text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 88285. That's money to 88285. Till next time, I'm Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right, we can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like...
It's only glass, though. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Join us, call or text, same number, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk hates that we continue to call Twitter, Lee McGowan is our guest. She is the Politics Girl. Find her at I Am Politics Girl. And she's out with a new number one New York Times bestselling book called The Return to Common Sense, How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. We wanted to share with you our mascot, Lee. This was made by a listener. It's the 3D printer combining Elon Musk and Jabba the Hutt. So he's our new show mascot. And we just love to share him because we think it's special.
I think he's spectacular. I think the entire country is Leia with the collar on right now with that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I hope. Yeah. We're looking pretty good in our bikini, but it's not a good place for us to be.
Yeah, not a good place to be, most definitely. Donald Trump was making some appearances over the weekend. He was in Wisconsin on Saturday, and then he made another stop yesterday where he made some comments that were interestingly about overtime. Calvin, let's play this clip. Donald Trump talking about how great overtime is.
I know a lot about overtime. I'd hated to give overtime. I hated it. I'd get other people. I shouldn't say this, but I'd get other people in. I wouldn't pay. I hated.
I'd get other people in and I wouldn't pay it. Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I really, truly wish that Americans were listening to what he says. I know he's got amazing rhetoric. He's great with a crowd. The man's a showman. That's what he's always been. He's your classic old school carnival barker. He can bring in a crowd. He can rile them up. But I wish people could spend more time listening to what he's saying, because he's telling you what the facts have been telling us for years. The man does not care about workers. He does not pay workers. He in fact, there are so many people whose businesses were lost after working for him.
Yes.
We should have known that before he was elected in 2016. This is not a man who cares about the American worker. And the fact that there are so many American workers that support him is heartbreaking, because he will throw them under the bus every single time. And here he is telling us he wouldn't pay overtime. He would get other people to pay overtime. And when they tell us they're not going to tax overtime, in the future under his administration, it's because they're not going to pay overtime. It's not because they're not going to tax it. They're not going to pay it.
It just won't exist.
So, like, they won't exist. You know, like, you can just work like little slaves, and that's what we need you for. And I think people really need to hear him.
You know, I one of the things, Lee, is my father was a Reagan Republican. He loved the GOP of the 80s, of the hardworking values, Christian values, family values, all those great values. And to see that party, now granted, Reagan wasn't as great as they thought back in the 80s, but we now know. But to see and hear people calling who disagree with us tout Donald Trump as the representative of that party, of that version, when they don't see that it's as Trump Jr. has said, it's not the GOP, it's the party of Trump.
Yes.
That's the most heartbreaking thing, is to listen to these individuals who fully will not vote for Kamala Harris, but they think they're voting for Reagan's GOP still in 2024, 40 plus years later, when it's clear that it wasn't even that then, but it's certainly not that now.
Yeah, no, hindsight is 2020 on the Reagan administration, right? Like, we see now that the trickle-down economic situation never served us. The idea was you pour champagne into the top glass and it ends up filling all the glasses below. But what we know really happened was that top glass just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and all the glasses underneath were cracking under its weight. That's where we are. That's what Reaganomics did to us. But I think this idea of a shining city on a hill, of this great democracy, of tear down this wall, you know, that kind of thing, that kind of Reaganism, I think a lot of Americans can get behind, because this was the leading shining star of democracy.
Yes.
That we all want to be. And I think we could get back to that. But the idea that the Democrats aren't the party of family values, when we respect every single type of family, where we say, if you're a single mother with your child, you're a family. You know, they told us this on Sesame Street years ago. These are what different families look like. And you'd have a blue Muppet and a red Muppet, and they would be together as a family. And somehow we have said that only white Muppets are a family. Only boy and girl Muppet can have babies. That's not America. That's not what it looks like. And no one wants to go back to that. You know, the white picket fence America was only good for a certain type of American, just like this Make America Great Again concept was only good for a certain type of American. And I think the sooner we can accept that and move forward from it, the better off we'll be.
But you make a really good point about Sesame Street teaching about all different kinds of families. Lee, that's why PBS is so dangerous and needs to be killed, because of those dangerous... Let's all get along messages coming from Sesame Street.
Monsters.
It's the Marxist Sesame
Literal
Street Muppets.
Monsters.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm telling you, if I could do one thing in my life, it would be on Sesame Street with hanging out with those monsters. They are everything I think America should be. Goodness and light and working with your neighbor.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You never see a celebrity smile bigger than when they're on Sesame Street.
I'm telling you, it's my dream.
Oh, my dream used to be on the Muppet Show, and I wanted to do a duet with Jan, but that was just me. But anyway,
pretty cool.
You gotta have something to shoot for, Lee. You're only number one in the New York Times.
You gotta have dreams, America.
You gotta have dreams, Lee McGowan. She is I Am Politics Girl, number one best-selling book on the New York Times, The Return to Common Sense: How to Fix America Before We Really Blow It. Thank you so very much for taking time for us today. Best of luck to you. Let's stay in contact. We'd love to have you back on when you can.
Thanks for having me, Jane. And I really do believe in this country, and I hope that people who read the book will see that.
Thanks a lot, Lee McGowan. It's been a great pleasure. News is coming up next when we return. The aftermath of Hurricane Helene and how we can help. Please stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll preview the vice presidential debate. J.D. Vance taking on Tim Walz right here. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our Assembly Speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the Assembly Speaker and Robin Voss is the Minority Leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.